Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 4, Text Number 20. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. This chapter 4 entitled Hiranyakasipu terrorizes the universe. Ivam Aishwarya Matasya Yukta Yukta Syochas Javartinaha Kalo Mahan Vyati Yaya Rama Sapta Mukteya Sateyusaha. Translation: Hiranyakasipu thus passed a long time being very much proud of his opulences and transgressing the laws of regulations mentioned in the authorities' shastras. He was therefore subjected to a curse by the four Kumaras who were great brahmanas. Please repeat: Hiranyakasipu thus passed a long time being very much proud of his opulence and transgressing the laws and regulations mentioned in the authoritative shastras. He was therefore subjected to a curse by the four Kumaras who were great brahmanas. There have been many instances in which demons, after achieving material opulences, have become extremely proud, so much so that they have transgressed the laws and regulations given in the authoritative shastras. Hiranyakasipu acted in this way. As stated in the Bhagavad Gita 16:23, quote, "He who disregards scriptural injunctions and acts according to his own whims attains neither perfection nor happiness nor the supreme destination." The word shastra refers to that which controls our activities. We cannot violate or transgress the laws and regulative principles mentioned in the shastras. Bhagavad Gita repeatedly confirms this. As such, one should understand what is duty and what is not duty by the regulations of the scriptures. Knowing such rules and regulations, one should act that he may gradually be elevated. Bhagavad Gita 16:24. One should act according to the direction of the shastras. But the material energy is so powerful that as soon as one becomes materially opulent, he begins to transgress the shastric laws. As soon as one transgresses the laws of shastra, he immediately enters upon the path of destruction. And the purport: Om Agyanam Tanandasya Agyanam Salakaya Chakshur Mugdhanya Tarsmaya Sri Gurave Namaha. Namaam Vishnu Padaya Krishna Parishtaya Bhutare Simati Bhakti Vedanta Swamit Iti Namane Namaste Sarasati Devi Gauravani Pacharine Nevishesha Shandavari Paschati Satharine Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shivas Hari Gaur Bhakta Vinda. Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So in this chapter, Hiranyakasipu terrorizes the universe. Translation: Hiranyakasipu was thus passed a long time being very much proud of his opulences and transgressing the laws and regulations mentioned in the authoritative shastras. He was therefore subjected to a curse by the four Kumaras who were great brahmanas. I never heard any other mention of that incident. Is it there? Bhakti Shastras, Bhakti by Babs. So he was here. I don't know where this incident took place, but the four Kumaras cursed him. The four Kumaras are very powerful sons of Lord Brahma. And what a great personality, says a very great personality, will come to pass in due course of time. It's like Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur said, when will the day come when the Europeans, Americans, Russians will dance with their Bengalis in Navadvip, raising their hands, chanting Hari Bol, Hari Bol. So, not long, it's only 100 and something years. And we see so many things like that happen in our own lifetime. So the folk, with the four Kumaras say something, then that will definitely take place. So we should always be careful against these offending great personalities. The worst kind of offense, Vaishnava Parada. We know that Hiranyakashipu has performed very great austerities. These austerities are considered in the mode of passion and ignorance, because there's a material result. Prabhupada says sometimes people fast for political purposes. It's a mode of passion. Fasting is really to control the senses. It's the main aspect of fasting, because the senses become very subdued. If you fast, you become very weak, very laid down. And even it's painful to think of sense gratification or anything. Right? If one is fasting, it's even painful to think about material life. It gives you a headache. So therefore, fasting is good like that. Of course, you can't fast too long or too severely. But Hiranyakashipu, he did a very extreme, of course, this was in Satyayuga. He did a very extreme tapasya. So much so that even his body was being eaten. He wasn't flinching from his determination, his determined vow. All his body became actually eaten by ants. And he was staying alive by the marrow inside his bones. This was possible in Satyayuga. So, but he was doing it because overall he wanted to kill Vishnu. He was envious of Vishnu, because Vishnu killed his brother. And Vishnu sided with the demigods, so he didn't like Vishnu. Vishnu, he said, he's supposed to be equal to everyone. He said he claims that, but actually he's not. He's partial to the demigods. He's not a very nice person. He says he's equal, but he's actually partial to the demigods. And he killed my brother, who was a very good, charitable person. Hiranyaksha. I would kill him. He's very intelligent. If you read those previous chapters where he's practicing, where after Hiranyaksha dies, and he's actually preaching very nice philosophy to Aditi and the Dejas. He's preaching very nice philosophy, how you should worship the Supreme Lord, how you shouldn't lament, because everyone was lamenting at the loss of Hiranyaksha. Somehow he's given different examples of the Kulina birds and the wives of the king who are lamenting over their husband, the king who died. The wives are lamenting, they wouldn't leave the body alone, they was all crying and holding onto the body. They wouldn't even let it be burned. It was supposed to be time for the burning, and coming to the evening, they wouldn't let it go. They were so attached. Then the Yamaraj came in the form of a young boy and spoke so nicely, preached so nicely to them, and asked why they attached to this piece of matter, and explained the whole philosophy of the spiritual difference between the soul and the body, and how all the attachment. And he was speaking very nicely, very eloquent philosophy, Hiranyakashipu, and he pacified them. They became appeased after that. And the ladies actually came quite pious, because he told them they should be worshipping the Supreme Lord. That was to pacify them. He spoke very nicely. But he made a vow, anyway, I will avenge. So then he performed these great austerities. And while he was away, then the Devas attacked his kingdom, and they was going to kill his wife, who was actually pregnant. This child is a child of Hiranyakashipu. He's going to be a big demon. We should kill her. Then Narada Muni came and explained that this in her womb is a great devotee. Although he's born in the family of Daitas, demons, he's actually a devotee. And I think Narada took her to his ashram. And so of course there was discourses of spiritual topics, and Prahlad assimilated that while he was in the womb of his mother. So when he was born, he had perfectly equipped with all spiritual knowledge. That is why Prahlad is such a great example. He's a Mahajan. So in this story, we see the two extremes, not just how good always overcomes evil, but this is a factual history. But how there were two extremes, that Prahlad is the best of the devotees, and Hiranyakashipu was the complete opposite, the worst, the biggest demon, biggest anti-Vaishnava, and hater of Vishnu. Two together, father and son. So obviously it was an incompatible situation. It wasn't going to last. It had to come to some climax sooner or later. So the problem was that Hiranyakashipu was very cruel and disobedient to the scripture. That's why he was cursed by the Kumaras. Otherwise he was so powerful by performing his austerities that he got all those benedictions. You know, he couldn't be killed and this way or that way. And his body was as hard as a thunderbolt and very effulgent, golden color. So he's very handsome. The beautiful features, very strong body, nobody could kill him. I mean, if he had been a nice person, he could have ruled the whole planet and people wouldn't have minded, you know. But he was inimical. That was his only problem. Like I said, Duryodhana also was a good king, but his problem was he was inimical towards the Pandavas. So he could have, you know, ruled the universe and been a very popular, we'd have probably worshipped him today. We could have been reading about Hiranyakashipu, one of the greatest leaders if he was pious, but he wasn't. So the problem was he was inimical towards Krishna. Not a question of good or bad is relative in this world. There's no good or bad. Right? Good, one follows the other. Like this time, this Satyayuga was a very good time. Right? Kali Yuga is a very bad time. But when Kali Yuga finishes, then Satyayuga comes again. A very good time again. So good and bad are just relative. Real good means that when one is actually connecting everything with the Supreme Lord, one is actually in line with what he desires, and then that's actually good. Otherwise, what is the meaning of good and bad? Good means you revolve in the higher planets, and bad means you revolve in the lower planets. That's all. So it's all relative, but they're all in the Brahmanda. You're all going through this. Nobody's outside of the prison house of Durga, of the universe. The good guys and the bad guys, they're all in here. So good and bad is just relative. Pious and impious is just relative. You'll be relatively happier if you're pious, that's all. And relatively you'll suffer more if you're impious. You'll be more affected by the mode of ignorance, and who knows what birth you'll take in your next life. So good means connection with God, doing the Lord's will. But he was inimical, so that was his problem. Otherwise he could have been a fantastic, you know, leader. And he was so powerful that he was doing a demigod's job, and it was very nice. He made a nice prayer. He's a really enjoyer. Hiranyakashipu means gold and soft beds. Gold means control, right? If you got gold, and soft bed means enjoyment. So he was practically the supreme controller in the universe at that particular time. He was so cruel to them, he was so harsh with the demigods, they were all scared of him, unnecessarily. He was really cruel to them, and he had them serving him personally. If he did anything wrong, then raise his eyebrows, he'll be shivering. Sometimes he's a runaway and hide and escape from him. But he didn't, even without them, he was controlling the nature by the dint of those, his austerities, his Ashtanga yoga, his mystic yoga. He got all those cities, and Brahma, he asked Lord Brahma for those, and he gave them afterwards. So by the dint of that, he could do anything he wanted, more or less, within the universe. But then Prahlad was fearless, so everything was under his grip, except Prahlad. And that really bugged him. It really annoyed him that this small boy, and his own son also, was really upset with Prahlad. Because Prahlad was completely indifferent. Prahlad was self-realized. He had no fear. He wasn't, all the demigods, up to, except for Lord Brahma and Shiva, they was in fear of him. Even Narada Muni used to go and worship him and offer nice prayers to him. Everyone was scared of him. Of course, Narada Muni has a good sense of humor, but everyone was, the Kumaras cursed him. Those transcendentalists, they were indifferent. So Prahlad was the greatest of the transcendentalists, taking complete shelter in the Lord, so he had no fear. Once somebody asked Srila Prabhupada, what's it like? What does it feel like to be Krishna conscious? Srila Prabhupada said, I have no fear. Symptom in Kali Yuga is everyone is fearful. Everyone is afraid of the supposed enemy. Fearful situation, Kali Yuga. So what, he's very intelligent. He told the Daityas, he said that Lord Vishnu is actually dependent on the demigods. He was thinking like this. He had made a mistake there. And the demigods are dependent on him. He said, and the demigods also dependent on Jagya. And so he said, go down to the earth, planet, and he said, now it's being run by Kshatriyas, and they're following the Brahminical culture, scalp protection, everything. So he said, go down and disturb all that. Don't set fire to the villages, kill the cows, kill those who perform, kill the brahmanas, cut down all the fruit trees and burn the villages and the crops. And everyone was in great fear. They were doing that, running around terrorizing the whole of the countryside, cities also. And then practically the jagya stopped. I believe also Hiranyakashipu said, anyone who performs pious activities will get a bad result. Let it be. You're demigods, you have to oblige. So naturally, no one's going to perform any pious activities if you're going to get a bad result. So then the demigods became very, very morose. Then they went to Lord Brahma. And then to Lord Vishnu. And Vishnu appeared as a voice and told them that very soon we will set things right again. So even it's a wonderful story, because Hiranyakashipu was actually successful materially, more successful than anyone else has ever been in the history. He was actually controlling, he was actually the enjoyer, but he couldn't maintain that position. So we're trying on a small scale, everyone in the material, every conditioned soul is also trying for the same thing on a smaller scale. We're not as broad-minded, nor we're as powerful, demonic as Hiranyakashipu, but in our own small way, we're all trying for the same thing, to find a better, more comfortable situation in life, and then we can be peaceful, happy. Here, Prabhupada mentions in this purport, there's a bit of a problem when one does by performing pious activities, dharma, then the result of that is artha. But the problem with that artha, you become feeling dependent. When you have a lot of facility, you know, rich, a lot of opportunity, artha, then you forget your actual dependence on Krishna. When you haven't got much, you realize you're in a very awkward position in the material world. And then in one sense, it can be easier to surrender to God because you don't have any other shelter, you don't have any other means. But if you have a lot of facility, a lot of means, a lot of servants, a lot of facility to enjoy, then you come away from God a little bit generally. That's the tendency of the material world. It's like that. Maya's job is to absorb our attention, to distract us from serving God. So Prabhupada was quoting this Bhagavad Gita, that Krishna saying one should understand what is duty and what is not duty by the regulations of the scriptures. Knowing such rules and regulations, one should act so that he may be gradually elevated. So this is the real purpose of life, is not to become comfortable, not to become happy, is to actually elevate one's consciousness, elevate one's status in life, so you can leave the prison altogether. That is the real purpose, but not many people are interested in that, unfortunately, in this age. Srila Prabhupada says, you should act according to the direction of the Shastra, but the material energy is so powerful that as soon as one becomes materially opulent, he begins to transgress the Shastric laws. And as soon as you transgress the laws of Shastra, one immediately enters on the path of destruction. Because the Shastra is the rule given by Krishna. He wants everyone to go become free from the cycle of birth and death and go back to him. And so he's given a way in how to live in this world which will gradually elevate one to this situation. So if you act differently from that, then it doesn't work. This is the way it works. So if you take something different from that, then it was not going to work. This is Krishna's, the rules are there. And the previous sloka from Bhagavad Gita, he who discards scriptural injunctions and acts according to his own whim attains neither perfection nor happiness nor the supreme destination. So Hiranyakashipu Prabhu was a prime example of this. He actually did have everything. He was completely successful. But because he misused his potency, he used it in the wrong way. He used it according to his own program instead of the Lord's program. Then he lost everything. So it's also a good example for us also, that if we really have no choice but to follow the ways which are chalked out by the Mahajans, by the previous Acharyas. And if we do anything other than that, then we're in very dangerous ground. So we should be thankful for the opportunity that we have. Especially thankful to coming into contact with the Sampradaya, coming in from the line of Mahaprabhu, this Gaudiya Sampradaya. Very rare. Such an easy thing. Actually, Prabhupada says in one purport here, in this section of Srimad Bhagavatam, that because he said when Hiranyakashipu and the Daitas were terrorizing the place and stopped and killing the Brahminical culture, then there was a great distress in the world. He said, and also in Kali Yuga, he said practically, he said everyone is. There's only sudras and demons in Kali Yuga. That's what we're dealing with. And the sudras are actually running the planet. So no proper direction. Sudra means one who is afflicted with the mode of goodness. So they don't follow Brahminical advice because there's no Brahmins. And even if there is advice, Brahminical advice, he said there's no Kshatriya to actually follow it. But so therefore in Kali Yuga it's very difficult to try to re-establish this Vedic civilization like that. He said, but it can be easily re-established by chanting Hare Krishna. Harinam, 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 Eva Kevalam, Kalo, Nastiva, Nastiva, Gatiranyata. That in this difficult age of Kali Yuga, if one simply chants Hare Krishna, then that will create all auspiciousness. Then gradually Brahmins will come and Kshatriyas will also come. This is the Lord's program. this is how he wants the place to work, the material world to work. So if we follow his instruction, so he said, let this holy name be, everyone chant the holy name in Kali Yuga, congregational chanting, then all auspiciousness will reign. That means the proper leaders will come and the proper instructors will manifest out of that, because it's the Lord's desire. So he will do that. Otherwise very difficult. So this is what we have. We have this opportunity with taking part in this Sankirtan movement. So we should follow everything as sincerely as we can. And this is our choice, and it's really the only choice that we have. Of course, we have this freedom of choice, but it's the only real choice we can make if we actually want to go back to Godhead. So we shouldn't lament that for the few problems that we do have in Kali Yuga, we can't stop them. We can't stop these birth, old age, disease, death, and you know, adiatmic, adidevic, adibaltic, they're coming all the time. I know, I have so many, every day people come out to me asking me to pray to Nrisingadev for some relief. Every day. And this is devotees, mainly. Every day, at least 10 pujas I'm doing daily for protection of the devotees. So we shouldn't be too much concerned with these reverses in life. We should be convinced that this is going to be the last life. Caitanya Mahaprabhu is the most munificent, most merciful incarnation, and he's coming to engage everyone in devotional service. He's not coming, his purpose is not to make people religious, dharmic, or purify them in that respect, to bring them to the point of self-realization or pseudo-sattva by any method which is normally prescribed for those purposes. He says you serve Krishna. The goal of self-realization, or the goal of when one is liberated, then what does one do? One serves Krishna. After many, many births, one who is wise actually understands Vasudeva Sarvamitya. Then he engages in the worship of the Lord. After many, many births. But no time, Kali Yuga, so Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was given. I will accept your service right now. Not in many births. Right now, I will accept your service. You have faith. You'll not become qualified in Kali Yuga. How will you become qualified? How will you purify yourself in Kali Yuga? You'll not come to the Suda Sattva platform by the usual methods. Doesn't matter. So God is making the laws, and also he's coming again and saying something different. He's transgressing the previous laws in one sense, that only Brahmas can read this scripture. Only one who is on the Suda Sattva platform can approach the Lord. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has waived all that, all those prerequisites normally which we had in different ages, because you won't be able to do it, you don't live long enough. So in any condition, whether you're liberated or conditioned, he will accept our service. So we should be convinced of that. Otherwise, why is he Mahavananaya? If we have to qualify ourselves, then that's what all the avatars do. But he's not asking for qualification. Therefore, he's Mahabhananaya, one aspect of Mahabhananaya. So we should be convinced about that. We don't have any problems in our next life. Now you've got to go through what we're supposed to go through, right? According to our karma. If he wants, he can reduce it or remove it altogether if he wants. But otherwise, whether you devote your life to Krishna or don't, you're going to have tribulations in this life. You're going to go through the whatever's supposed to happen. You won't overcome that. You won't get any more happiness. You won't get any less distress. Of course, Krishna can intervene. That's the only luck. That's the only chance in the world. So obviously, there's nothing to lose. Only everything to gain. So you should have this much confidence. So while we're here practicing Krishna consciousness, we're going to meet with so many difficulties. But that's to be expected. So you just tolerate those things as far as possible. One time someone was complaining, Srila Prabhupada, I can't work with this GBC, this, complainingly. Prabhupada said, if you've got a good ship and a good captain, what does it matter who's on board? You get on the ship to reach your destination. So he said, within that ship, many things can happen. Within that voyage, many things. You can make good friends, romance. Huh? You could make good business acquaintance, or you could get drunk and have a fight and end up in jail. You know, you could make some enemies, but that's all superficial. That wasn't why you got on the boat. So that's all superficial. Whatever goes on the voyage, the purpose was everyone got on to get off to reach the destination. So that's the main thing. So we shouldn't become overwhelmed by what goes on in the voyage and with our surroundings. Life is full of problems, no doubt. It's full of problems at every step. Hunger, thirst, it's relentless. Material nature is relentless. Adiatic, adiatmic, adidevic, adiboldic. There's always something coming there. So one should be a little tolerant of those. If we can't be transcendental, then one should be tolerant. Don't complain too much. Prabhupada said, you don't hang your dirty laundry out for everyone to see. Or your torn laundry. Everyone has problems. So it's a given that everyone has problems. Everyone has got a mind and everyone's got a senses. That means everyone has problems. So as far as possible, tolerate those, understanding that, you know, at least it's the last time. And as Prahlad Maharaj says, when you try to resolve a problem, generally it creates 10 more problems. He said that's how material energy works. Prabhupada says that also. We're all trying to, it's Hare Krishna address, we're all trying to exploit the resources of material nature, but actually becoming more and more entangled in her complexities. This hard struggle for existence loses maya. But it once can at once be easily overcome by the chanting of Hare Krishna, by the practice of Krishna consciousness. Because as soon as you we accept in the process of this Sankirtan movement, that is a platform of liberation. Immediately you're free from karma. And if you can do it, our goal is to engage 24/7. Then there's no more karmas. And anyway, everything will become much more positive. Once you become more broad-minded, one become indifferent to the demands of the senses, and one should become joyful also. Prabhupada said that's a sign of advancement. One should become peaceful. We're living in, surrounded by these aggressive senses, but still we should be peaceful, knowing that this is just a the material nature, this is just how it works, this is just, everyone has the same problems. Adhyatmik, adhidevik, adhibhautik. Just something you have to live with, tolerate. So even though it's so much turmoil is going on around us all the time, we shouldn't be too disturbed. First of all, understand that we can't stop it anyway. We're control, we're not the controllers. We can't control the material energy. But Krishna can stop it. So we perform these transcendental activities of devotional service, then these karmas, bijis, are also nullified. You get very little. You only get, it says you get a residue of what you're actually supposed to get. So that will also be make it a more peaceful existence. But in any case, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, you can embrace me, Krishna. You can make me feel happiness and ecstasy. Or you can keep me away, keep me brokenhearted, keep me in a distressful condition. That's your prerogative. It's not for me to choose. We're here because of our karmas. We have no one else to blame. So it's not our choice. Right? You can't do anything about it. You're in that body with a particular set of karma. Just tolerate it. That's all. Just live with it. Just come to terms with it. You're going to live with it. It's a problem. And be happy in all respects, in good or bad. It's like our jhana and bhaja seviki, happy in all respects, even under very severe conditions, which my hairs are standing on end and they're smiling. So examples are there. That the main thing is that we stick to the regulative principles of freedom of Krishna consciousness. That should be our main focus, and that we should have faith. By doing that, everything else will be taken care of. We're only here for a little while. Why we should put so much stress on trying to overcome these problems? We're only here for a little while. It's all gone. And when you go back, when you leave your body, you'll be laughing. What a fool I was! Oh, there's so much worry, so much anxiety, making all these plans, and it's all over. Why would I could have been serving Krishna, could have been chanting Hare Krishna, and loving Krishna at that time. Instead of that, I was put Krishna to one side and started to face all these problems and try to overcome them. And what a fool! Ass, Bhaktivinoda Thakura. This conditioned soul makes an ass of himself, just lugging this huge body all around the universe, catering for it, trying to find a comfortable situation. So here we got the two poles in this particular story. We got the unalloyed pure devotee and the unalloyed demon, unalloyed adversary of Lord Vishnu. And although they may be successful for a little while, they won't be able to maintain it for long if they're inimical towards the Lord and His service. Jai Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Narasimha Bhagavan ki jai, Sri Prabhupada ki jai, Jai Gaura Paramananda, Hari Hari Gaura. Sometimes when we read the story we feel sorry for Hiranyakashipu, because nobody tried as hard as he to be materially successful. What an embarrassment that his downfall was his own son. We also feel sorry for Duryodhana. Yeah. He was a good king. I wouldn't like to answer that question. It means you want to do what the hell you like also. Probably. It means I want to do what I like and not have to suffer. If I said it, that's what I would mean. That would be my angle. It's not fair. Right? It's not fair. I want to do it like this. It's not fair. Oh, he enjoyed. He was a supreme enjoyer for a while. He had a good run. Prahlad, he's our acharya, he's our hero. He wasn't disturbed one bit. When he saw his father's innards being ripped out, he wasn't disturbed one bit. Because he knew the difference between the body and the soul. He's not my father, But he did have compassion. He said, he asked Nrisingadev to deliver him. So he didn't. He was smiling. He knew this is a supreme law. Whatever he does is auspicious. This is auspicious for my father. And very auspicious. that the Lord is tearing his intestines out. It's very auspicious. He's very happy for his family. That's Prahlad's vision. the story is that that's how, you know, if we're like Prahlad, then we see when Hiranyakashipu met the Lord, what did he see? That very ferocious, completely horrible. When Prahlad saw him, after he calmed down a little bit, they edged Prahlad forward, and what did he do? He picked Prahlad up, put him on his lap, and smelt his head, and then he licked him. Amen. So as a result, see, it's the same person, but how you approach him, then he reciprocates also. So example is, what do we want? We can join the deities or we can join the devas. In the Satyayuga, it's a time when all the good people used to exist. How could the demon exist? By the Lord's desire. Because he was it wasn't actually a demon, it was Jay and Vijay had been cursed by the four Kumaras again. They cursed them to become, they gave them a choice, you become demons or devotees. Four births as a demon or seven as devotee, something like that. Under the pretext of giving a good fight with the Lord, because the Lord couldn't fight with anyone, so they felt there may be something lacking. Vishnu can't fight with anyone, he's the Lord, but they were very strong, Jay Vijay, so they thought we could fight with him. So this, because of this mentality, then and for all of the instructions that come for us, then the Lord arranged this leela so that he could have a good fight with the Hiranyakashipu, Hiranyaksha, and all the others, the other what came. But in the end, they became Jagai Madai, and then they got love of God. Don't come back in Satyayuga. This is the bottom line. Even in Satyayuga, anything can happen. You go back to Godhead. In any yuga, right now we have an opportunity. Don't try to improve the opportunity. Just take the opportunity. That's Maya, to try to improve the opportunity. Everyone is thinking, if I change my situation, I can practice Krishna consciousness easier. If I change my ashram, if I change my temple, if I change my devotee association, if I change my habits to control my mind, then I can. And we're doing so many things, but actually serving Krishna. Whereas we could have been serving Krishna right now, instead of putting it off to put these problems aside so we can serve Krishna without any interference. This is Maya's trick. So even as devotees or aspiring devotees, we spend half our time trying to get things peaceful so we can serve Krishna with a peaceful mind. But Mahaprabhu is not asking for that. He said, whether you're peaceful or not peaceful, whether you're crazy or sane, I'll accept your service. So that's, now is the right time, you see. Now is the opportunity we can serve Krishna. You don't know what's going to happen in the future. We can't say what's going to happen in 2 minutes. So now you can take that opportunity. Relatively speaking, it may be more easier in Satyayuga. Relatively speaking. But that's, we're in Kali Yuga. But we do have a very wonderful opportunity. Actually better now than in Satyayuga. You only live 100 years. You just got to tolerate for 100 years. In Satyayuga, you got to tolerate for 100,000 years. And it's so nice. So nice. You can easily merge. Easily start to glide. Everything is nice, generally. Even on the heavenly planets, the demons took over there also, so everything is uncertain in the material world. We mentioned if we have a good captain, a good ship, it doesn't matter who's on board. If you misbehave, you may be arrested. Whatever you do, don't jump ship. Yes, whatever you do, don't leave ISKCON. Is that motto? If you misbehave, will there be some kind of repercussion? Yeah, if you misbehave on the ship, then when you get off, you go to the jail. Right? So then you have to wait there before you can actually do what you what you're supposed to be doing. So in other words, anything that is not ordained, that is not prescribed, in other words, anything that is unfavorable for Krishna consciousness, that will merely slow our progress down. You'll stay in a human form of life, that's guaranteed if you're a devotee. But everything you do against the principle of Krishna consciousness will actually slow your progress down. You'll have to stay in the material world longer, generally, unless the Lord intervenes. We may not reach the destination. No, we'll definitely reach the destination, but it's a question of time when you reach it. We're suffering. Why are we not back to Godhead? We're suffering. Wherever we are, we're suffering. Even if you're on the heavenly planets, just if you're missing out on that ambience of the spiritual world. So why delay? To try to enjoy the comforts of the material world, you're sacrificing the spiritual world for that, sacrificing all the, if it's, you know, pleasure and comfort we love, if we're looking for. That's just materially speaking. What to speak of your relationship with Krishna?
Prabhuji, in spiritual life, to progress, we need proper association and things like that. And you said that, you know, rather than thinking about changing temples and changing association, one should focus on serving Krishna. But sometimes, for example, I feel that if I am in the right association, I feel very enthused. And sometimes when it is not so, then I feel quite discouraged. So, I mean, I'm trying to understand. So if you can help in explaining that point again.
It's better if you have right association. So the Prabhupada mentions also in the story of Gajendra, he said, if it's better in your own environment, and your right is situated, that you could be, you're more stronger if you feel comfortable in that environment. But don't think that you're going to get the right temple, the right service, the right ashram, the right association. Don't look for perfection in the material world. Don't spend all your time trying to adjust to get that. It doesn't exist, not for long. You'll not find that. Because if you're not satisfied now, why would you be satisfied then? If you're taking the same mind with you wherever you go. They're dealing with the same person as you're dealing with the same mind. So unless you're actually peaceful, that you have devotional service, you can serve Krishna here, there or anywhere. This is what is going to actually save you. All the other things are supports, unnecessary supports, of course. But the point is, we're supposed to become absorbed in Krishna. So we become absorbed in Krishna's service. So that you can do anywhere, with or without association, whether you're in a prison in Russia, or you can do that still. But don't try to find that perfection in the material world, the right place, or the right, everything right. That's a dream.
There's a letter from Srila Prabhupada to Jayapataka Swami, which is in the meditations calendar, and it's December the 19th, I think. But it says that actually the pure devotee understands or sees that everything is part of Krishna's plan. No matter what I am doing now is meant to be. Then he says, let me do it with my full attention, no matter what it is, and let all other considerations be forgotten, and my only motive being that it's for Krishna's alone pleasure. And actually, you know, it's like you pointed out, there's so many things going to go wrong, you can't adjust. But actually, Prabhupada points out that the pure devotee sees that everything, actually whatever you're doing now, is perfect because it's Krishna's plan. So let all other considerations, he's just taking the mind away. He says, let all other considerations be forgotten, no matter what they are. And it's a very wonderful letter. And I try and read it every day. It's an inspiration to me, you know, because I'm always distracted. You know, you miss the goal if you... That's one letter I remember.
Very nice instruction.
Yeah, it's wonderful.
That's why Jayapataka Maharaj is always so happy and absorbed. He doesn't forget that. For the for the birds.
How to increase tolerance? How to increase tolerance?
How to increase?
Tolerance.
Tolerance. Go to the West. Prabhupada told us, if you find it difficult in India, it's just to teach you tolerance. In the times of reverses, hard times, you've got to be philosophical about it. You have to be philosophical at those times. You can understand that you're not suffering any more than you're supposed to suffer. There's no chance, materially speaking. Everything is fixed. Your happiness and joy is already fixed. You can't change that materially. And if you hadn't taken to Krishna consciousness, you'd be probably suffering a lot more. And it's going to be the last time. It's the last time. And while I'm concerned about my safety, then I'm not remembering Krishna properly. I'm mixed. I may be serving, but I'm thinking, oh, this problem, that problem. So then you're not probably absorbed in Krishna consciousness, which is the goal, to be completely absorbed in your service, hearing, chanting, whatever it is. If you can be just absorbed in that service, that's what we want. So, but if you understand that there's nothing you can do about it anyway, more or less, if you change this situation, it'll come in another way. Adiatmic, adibhautik, adidevik. If you avoid one, it will come in another way, or come back again. So you can't really stop that. So as far as possible, you should tolerate and be happy that you're grateful for what we got. We got to, we're going back to Godhead in this lifetime. We just got to tolerate these things which are coming along due to our previous activities. No one else's. No one to blame but ourselves. So we have to tolerate them. You're in prison. We're in prison, remember. We just have to serve our sentence and then we go back. Maybe someone else has a good remedy for tolerance here. Good suggestion.
Hare Krishna Prabhu. Thank you. Usually when I'm going through some difficulties, I come and listen more attentively to the Bhagavatam class. Helps me.
Go to the Bhagavatam class.
Like today I was having some problem and I'm feeling better after listening.
Yes, because as soon as you hear discussions of transcendental topic, immediately your consciousness goes up and you forget those things.
I learned one thing about tolerance recently, and that is that you might think what you're doing is tolerating until it gets really bad, then that's tolerating. So if you think you're distressed at having to tolerate so much, don't tempt fate by giving you more to tolerate. It's not like a standalone quality. It comes with so many other things. It comes with humility, it comes with compassion, it comes with so many other qualities. It comes in a package. Mm-hmm. If you're just seeking toleration, then you'll just be tested more and more and more until you finally understand what tolerance truly is. Yeah. Krishna has a sense of humor, put it that way.
Okay, that's a good point. It's an all-round process, Krishna consciousness. All those qualities, just like your senses, all become purified simultaneously, gradually. And all those qualities gradually develop simultaneously, if we're sincere. Not only your tolerance, all of the good qualities, humility, tolerance, truthfulness, like this, will gradually develop as the more sincere we're practicing Krishna consciousness. If you want an answer to any question, you can go to Shishastikam. Any question there, you'll find the answer. Cure. Shishastikam. Here's a letter from Delhi. We have no time for reciting the Singhadev pastimes today. Here's from our Rajendananda Das from San Diego. In the CC, Krishna says he won't give material benefits except to help the devotee further surrender. In your experience, seeing Lord Nrsimha helping so many devotees with health issues, etc., do you see that recipients surrendering in their Krishna consciousness in large fashion. What I say by these experiences with Nrisimhadev, that a lot of devotees come and say by hearing these pastimes it really increases their faith a lot in Nrisimhadev and spiritual life in general. Because they're like, you know, practical examples. Of course we can't prove them, could be coincidence. You can't prove that it's Nrisimhadev, but we know it's Nrisimhadev in most cases. But that's what a lot of devotees feel when they hear those stories, how the Lord was reciprocating, you know, it's not something from the Puranas, it's something today, then their faith really increases. So that's one of the... And those people, naturally those people that have the experience, their faith increases also a lot. So that's the main thing, that's the large fashion, how the Krishna consciousness increases. Sing Bhagwan ki jai, Prahlad Mahajan ki jai, Sarva Bhara ki jai, Sarva Bhaktama ki jai, Tai Gopra Nandi, Hari Bol.